welcome to the second installment of The Grizzly Show. Sit back, kick your boots off, crack a beer while we dive into Houston's local talent pool. And if you're at work like Mr. Hugh Green, keep your whistle dry and your boots on, brother. Now here at The Grizzly Show, we may have some explicit content and language, so this show may not be suitable for some listeners. So to the do-gooders, I say good night, and to the heathens, I say hello and welcome. I'm Chad Grizzly, your host, and right next to me is my good friend and my co-host, Mr. Johnny Bad. JB, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, man. I'm honestly trying to recover from this weekend. It's been a long weekend.
Oh, yeah? Pretty trying?
Yeah, I've just been busy, man.
What you got going on?
Well, I hit a bunch of shows this weekend, which is unusual.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's unusual.
Yeah, dude, you never go to shows. You're usually just way too busy.
Yeah, it's unusual for me to be able to get out to the shows, basically, because my band is so busy. But we're on a month hiatus right now, and it gives me a chance to get back to what I like to do, which is to see live music.
Well, what'd you go check out, man?
Well, let's see. Friday, I actually got to catch two shows. Friday night started with my buddy I just mentioned, Hugh Green, and Samuel Barker with the Wayward Sons over at Coffee Oasis. We caught them there doing some acoustic Americana stuff in their style.
I've seen that. Which Coffee Oasis?
The one on Nass Road 1.
I've seen them have shows posted. And yeah. What's that all about?
It's a real quiet scene, man. It's it's a coffee shop. So
like
there's
a singer songwriter.
Yeah, very singer songwriter. They keep it pretty quiet, pretty low key in there. So they do sell beer and and some coffee, and it's a real chill environment.
Well,
honestly,
that's cool. Yeah, man, that's different, man. That's a lot different than the punk rock or
hardcore
scene. So that's cool, man.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, I had to go check those guys out. They've been real supportive to us, in Grizzly. Actually, they're the guys that gave us our start in the very beginning. They gave us our very first show.
Wow, really?
Yeah, out in Conroe was our very first show. These guys hooked up with us and really gave us a good outfit.
Y'all's very first show was in Conroe?
It sure was, no doubt.
Wow, man. I thought I had it bad when I was like, I'll do my first show in Katy. You went way out, man.
We had five songs and we played for 20 minutes. That's
nice.
How. Yeah. It was good times. And then later that night, I went up to Union Tavern, which is on El Dorado Boulevard, if you're familiar with the Clear Lake area. And we went up there to catch the Dead Rabbits, good friends of ours. Again, we'll be having those guys in here soon as well.
I've heard a lot about them.
Yeah, they're Irish folk punk, I guess, is the best way to put it. And they're really kind of a unique brand. It's not like what you would expect from... first of all, this area in Texas in general, it's Irish folk punk, and they have, like I said, they have a very unique brand of it. It's not like Dropkick, it's not like Flogging Molly, it's not like the Pogues. It's a little bit of all of them mixed together, and it's
nice.
A really unique brand, and they're really a lot of fun. They really bring that good old beer drinking, beers, belligerent nights.
Yeah, man. Oh, and that's my scene all over the place. I've been trying to catch them for.
Yeah,
months
exactly.
Now,
we've had a couple good, really good shows with them. We'll be playing a couple shows with them coming up soon, and we'll talk about that later. But and they were playing alongside of Houston legends. Oh man, and it was awesome. The Dolly Rockers. Wow, Dolly. Geez, she is a hell of a presence.
Wait. The lead singer's actual name is Dolly.
Oh, she's just female, yeah. She's actually
nice.
The one of the singers from Manhole from back in the day.
No,
another Houston Houston
that's
legend.
That's a rarity around town. She's
right.
A female singer.
Oh, I know.
So,
I mean,
what are they like?
Well, they're like, I wouldn't call them straight rockabilly. They're kind of, they're Texas country, but like in a hot rod version of it. It's not quite rockabilly. You really got to check them out. I'm sure they're on Facebook and everything like that. But man, she puts on such a fantastic show. She is just, mesmerizing to watch.
That
on
sounds
stage.
Like right up my alley.
I'm not sure how old she is. I'm based on how long she's been around. I've got my ideas that she's more than 35. I would probably be. That's being nice, probably. But my God. Beautiful woman. You would never know she was a day over, over 25.
That's like saying
honestly.
Like the chick from Hillbilly Moon Explosion.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's definitely a little road hagger, but man,
right.
she pulls it off, and when she does it, man, she's beautiful.
Yeah, amazing, yeah. And then they played with, the opener that night was a band from Beaumont, and I was really impressed with these guys. They were called the Ramblin' Boys. And like I said, they're out of Beaumont. I had never heard of these guys. I'd heard their name a couple times through some friends, and I getting to check them out. And these guys, all acoustic. They have two acoustic guitars, an upright bass, and a drummer. And then they have a standalone singer, which it seemed really kind of odd. And all these guys they can't be more than
18 to 21. They're really, really young. It's like the acoustic version of Gaslight almost. They're really, really unique, but they had a lot of mix. You could definitely see that they're what their influences were based on song from song. Really interesting. I really dug the hell out of them.
What was their name again?
Their name was the Ramblin' Boys, and they're out of Beaumont.
Ramblin' Boys. Where was this show at, by the way?
This show was at Union Tavern on El Dorado Boulevard.
Okay, great, man.
And then it gets better. My weekend got even better. I was entertaining my wife's cousin. He's down from Wisconsin.
Sounds like a blast.
Oh, actually it was. He's from Wisconsin. He's in the, you know, the hip scene and everything like that. And
I was being really sarcastic.
Oh, I could tell. It was kind of, wafting off of you there. But, we brought him down and really we lucked out on such a fantastic weekend of local music and, and Texas music in general. It was a perfect Texas experience, especially by the time we got to Continental Club on Saturday night to see Mr. Scott H. Byram.
Oh, my God, man.
I know. I'm telling you, dude, I hate when I have to miss him sometimes, but man, I couldn't pass this one up. And again, the last time we played with him, there was probably 35, maybe 40 people in the room. And that's a good crowd. That is one of those intimate, lovely crowds to hang out with.
It's not good, venue-wise or money-making-wise for the artist, but God, man, that seems so personal.
It really is,
man.
Especially with him,
I remember I went to go see him one time, same club, Continental Club, Midtown. Mm. Midtown Houston Continental Club.
Yeah, on Main.
And there couldn't have been maybe, 50 people in the place. He unplugged completely and just... Yeah. Played one song straight to the people standing right up front, really putting it out, and it was beautiful.
Yeah,
man,
if you don't know who Scott Byram is, I'll give you a little rundown. He's a one man band. He does this Delta blues porch stomp. I can't really totally describe it. You really gotta
throw some metal in there.
Yeah, throw a little bit of metal, really distorted, and some some good old boy storytelling stomp. He's really an amazing watch, and he has such a presence on stage. It's unbelievable. By the end of the night, it's like this revival. Like everybody's like sweating, like everybody's hands are throwing up.
It's a Georgia South, absolutely tent, Baptist tent revival.
Yeah, but,
by the
but
end
definitely
of the thing.
Check that guy out.
Spelled B-I-R-A-M.
Yeah, Scott H. Byram. Look him up on
the H stands for fuck you.
Yeah, the H does stand for fuck you, according to him. And
I love that dude much.
He's a badass guy. Actually,
I'm so pissed I missed that.
Yeah,
man.
It was the last day of the tour, and it was clear that he was a little worn out. I've seen Scott a number of times, and he was
last time I went to go see him, he's in a he's kicking around in like a camper. Like a Winnebago.
Yeah, that's
like I'm not talking like a nice Winnebago. I'm talking like a piece of shit, a piece of garbage Winnebago. And I was like, this is the guy I'm coming to see. That is some transient rambling type fella right there, man.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So it was the last days of, or actually the last night of his tour. I think they had been on tour for about 3 weeks. They were with Whiskey Dick, which is the singer from the growly singer from Hank 3. But anyway, they were on tour, and I think he was a little bit tired, and he got a little bit drunker than what I've seen him in past times. And at the end of the show, these drunken girls, just being really obnoxious, wildly inappropriate.
That sounds like a treat.
Yeah, and he is trying his best to maintain his professionalism.
Yeah, because he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he really is.
I mean, he's incredibly humble, super nice.
And he really just had enough with him, and I saw him just straight up. He straight up said, seriously, get out of my face. And it seemed rude at first, but then I thought about it, and I was like, man, these girls are being extremely pressing. They were really close to him, and he was clearly not having it.
I'm sure you've dealt with that before, right? Fan.
I seek it out. There are no obnoxious fans for me. I'm not at that level. He sees thousands a year.
Well, that's true.
Thousands a week. I see, maybe 1,000 in a year, and I'm seeking out people to talk to, and things like that. So I don't really know that, that feeling of obnoxious. Well, I mean, I've met a few that gab on a bit, but it is what it is. I'm there to entertain. And
you've had a few fans hump you on stage.
Yeah, there was that one
of
guy.
The male persuasion.
There was that one guy.
Who directly face planted off the stage.
Yeah, thank you, Nick, for
up.
That one.
Yeah, good job, Nikolai.
Yeah, good job. But anyway, you know, so speaking of some local shows, what's going down in the old H-Town area in the next month or two?
I have not been able to gad about and run the town as such as you have, but I've been keeping an eye on some stuff that I've been looking forward to seeing. Right now, we've got a Snitz Dog and Pony Show.
Snitz Dog and Pony Show.
Yeah, he used to be the drummer for, he's a drummer, guitar player, bassist. He's like one of those jack-of-all-trades type cats. Playing over at Katie's in Baycliff, and that's going to be a great show. Actually, coming up in February 28th, Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah, that's always going to be a good show.
Super excellent. Always that's going to be over at the House of Blues.
I would definitely say get your tickets before because it'll definitely sell out.
Oh, it's definitely going to sell out. That's a big venue. Definitely going to sell out. And that's going to be a fun show.
I can promise something. If you're going to House of Blues, you will not get drunk unless you bring about $800 because each beer is seriously like $12 for a tall boy.
It's like Minute Maid baseball park prices.
What else is coming up?
We also got El Bodo.
El Bodo, and, local to the Eau Claire
local
Lake.
And opening for them would be Hydra Melody, opening on the February 24th over at Scout Bar.
Scout Bar, that's also local to us.
Scout Bar is a great venue, man.
They do good sound.
They do the Texas Buzz. That's very super supportive and local for everything around.
Connected with 94.5 The Buzz.
Yeah, they're who are they run by?
94.5 The Buzz.
No. What is that guy's? You know what? Never mind.
Oh, you're talking about AD.
Yes, AD.
The radio jockey guy.
Yeah. Sorry, I talked off mic for a second there to justify my information. we also got the Texas Hippie.
You got that?
Yeah, I got it. Texas Hippie Coalition. That's THC.
That is a mouthful.
That's a terrible name, but but the guys are awesome, man. I mean, they're like
the farthest from hippies, honestly. Other than the dirty, smelly part.
Oh man, they're Pantera. They're just Texas dirty Pantera metal.
Yeah.
It's Texas metal and finest. They're great. It's a cheap ticket. An awesome show.
Yeah.
But that lead singer has got to be the sweatiest, fattest, smelliest person I've ever met in my whole life.
Don't take it personally, brother.
I'm sorry. I mean,
take a bath every once in a while.
I mean, that guy's got to be 400 pounds, but he rocks those cut off, snapping up Mother Pearl's button shirts really, really well. So, also, we got coming up Dykes on Bikes, Dead Horse, and DIR, also over at Scout Bar.
Dirty Ride. DIR. They're all local. Dead Horse, for you older gentlemen and ladies that are listening, has been around forever here in the Houston area. DRI as well. It's basically kind of the same band. They kind of change off. It's like thrash metal slash thrash punk. And then Dykes on Bikes are our good friends. They are just straight up like hot rod punk.
Hot rod punk and roll
is what it is.
Yeah,
you know?
It's high speed rock and roll.
Yeah, high speed rock and roll.
That's their slogan. Those guys are great.
They put on a hell of a show.
If you want to have a good time out, go see Dykes on Bikes, man. They're just fun. They have like lesbian porn playing
back
behind you.
Like from the 60s,
you're
too.
You're flipping over tables. And
yeah.
I think I went to one show and they rolled up in a 42 Ford or something like that.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
And I got one more for you. I'm not sure about her latest shows, but we saw her just recently. She's out of Austin.
Yeah, we mentioned her on the last show.
Yeah. Her name is Izzy Cox. I got her CD sitting in my hand. And
unfortunately, we can't play any of her music because we have no consent from her to do that.
Not just yet.
Not yet. We will
hopefully
eventually.
This is something because we really want to have
her. So, Izzy, if you're listening,
show.
Please.
She recorded, mixed, and mastered this whole CD out of Austin. She's got this really dark.
Very dark.
I wouldn't say it's almost rockabilly
like,
sound.
But it's like that I don't know, again, back to that desert style, like kind of almost carny feel, but it's really cool.
Carny feel, that's a good description.
Yeah, it's really, really, really neat.
Her live show was just her and a bass drum, and it was killer, man. Yeah. She got a song called Hoodoo Voodoo Gal that'll throw chills up you. Bad Woman.
What's her website?
Really upbeat. Her website actually is www.myspace.com/IzzyCox, and her email address is izzycox@hotmail.com. That's spelled IZCOX@hotmail.com. Izzy is actually spelled IZZCOX for her MySpace page.
Yep.
So look her up.
Please.
Give her some downloads if you can buy her album.
Yeah. Support the local scene by all means.
She's absolutely great.
I got one more quick shout out before we get some music going here. I've got some friends of ours, Eli and his wife. They are opening a shop called Pistons and I'm sorry, Pinups and Pistons, and it's over off of 146, and they are grand opening actually tomorrow. But you probably won't hear this, but they'll be open this week.
So this is a motorcycle and car shop, right?
Yeah, well, not really a car shop. It's apparel. But it's for all of you hot rodders out there that are into the lifestyle, the greasers, you know, and they've got all the lines of clothing that you would like to see. You know, I know they definitely got Dickies. They not quite yet. They haven't quite got the loser machine and hippie killer stuff yet, but nonetheless, they've got a lot of really neat things over there that you can pick up. They've got hair products, they've got shirts, they have
pompadours are hard.
Yeah,
to do,
well, they have this stuff called I think it's called cock grease. And
wait, what?
Cock grease.
Oh yeah. Man, I gotta buy me some.
Yeah,
of that.
And it's fantastic. I wash right out. But anyway, they have nice skirts that you know, the girls, the pinup girls wear.
Yeah, the little hobble skirts.
Whatever they're called. The pinup girl dressing stuff. But go check them out. They're on 146, right behind Tookie's. You can't miss them. There's going to be a lot of hot rods out of there and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fun, man.
But anyway, I think we're going to listen to a song from a buddy of ours. Actually, we're going to listen to Chris J. Hardy. I had the privilege of getting to hear this this album last night. It's a brand new album. He came by and gave it to me, and he's going to be in here in just a little bit to play some songs for us, and we're going to pick his brain for a little bit. But go ahead, and I'll give you a sample of what this album's going to be like. This is... Well, I don't even know the names of the songs. There's track 10 on this because he didn't give me the names of the songs. I think it's called BOI, I believe. Actually, I think it's about Galveston. So take a listen to this and enjoy.
I'll take you out sometime, and then a gale will sit for the night. We'll walk the beach hand in hand, and draw our names in a heart on sand. And watch sunset on the bay, we'll steal a kiss out in the waves. We'll roll around and laugh for a little while. We'll take the ferry out to the port, and make love by the old fort. On a hoodie old car underneath the stars, listening to that radio. Cuddle up on the strand, we'll find a bar with an island band and dance all night. Oh, B-O-I, my oh my, sure feels like I'm home. Little sound in the air, sand everywhere, no feels like I'm home. I won't be a wife of my own mind, no feels like I'm home. Little sound in the air, sand everywhere, no feels like I'm home. You can leave your worries behind, head south down the 45. No need for shoes or a fancy suit, just good friends with many a booze. We'll drive by the old graveyards, surfboards, acoustic guitars, hang around and play on an afternoon. And take a stroll on the seawall and bar hop till we bar crawl. You know I had too much to drink when I woke up sunburned on the beach. And may the Balinese rest in peace. Hurricane took it back to the sea. I won't be oh why, my oh my, it sure feels like I'm home. A little sound in the air, sand everywhere. Like I'm home. I won't be a wife of my home. No feels like I'm home. A little sound in your hair, sand everywhere. No feels like I'm home.
Like I said, that's going to be a little bit of a sampler for his upcoming album. Again,
that was great, man.
I don't have a you know, a title for the album. I'm sure he'll tell us here in just a little bit. But
man, that's got some, I mean, that really hits you in the feels.
It really
there,
does.
Especially
man.
Being from this area,
he's,
man.
He's got some real good, man, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We're going to play another song from a good buddy of mine. It's going to be in here, you know, and he's actually going to be our next featured guest. It'll probably be in a couple episodes, but he'll be our actual next featured guest. His name is Samuel Barker, and he does an acoustic, you know, solo stuff as well. This next song is called Take the Blame off of his album, All This for Gas Money. Like I said, that was Samuel Barker from his album, All This for Gas. Good question, and then very good way to do that. Anyway, looks like our guest for the evening, Mr. Chris J. Hardy, has just walked into the room. Woo! Hell yeah.
What's going on, man? Yeah, I'll give a little bit of that.
Yeah. He's a local legend to us. Honestly, he really is. Local legend, scene advocate, charity and fundraiser, as well as open mic host at Union Tavern on El Dorado Boulevard that we've mentioned about, how many times? Eight times today?
At least three or four.
You know, how you doing, buddy?
Awesome. Amazing. Wonderful.
Right on. It's good to have you here, dude. We're excited to hear you play some stuff. We heard one of your songs. I think it was BOI earlier. First, actually, because I didn't know earlier, what is the name of this album? Have you figured that out yet?
Tentatively, we're going with Dead End of a 45, since we're all kind of from the Galveston, Clear Lake area. I'm going more towards
that. That's a nice little innuendo there.
Yeah, 40, if you catch it, you know, it's
40, so. 45 is the main highway to Galveston.
BOI is born on
the island.
Born on the island,
so it's kind of, you know, kind of a little, you know, hat nod to where we come from.
Right. No, that's good. Let me say this. You gave me an opportunity last night to get a glimpse of your new album, and wow, like I was really, first of all, I was shocked. You told me that you were, hang on, we're having some technical issues here a second. There we go. You told me that it was country, and I was like, okay, it's going to be Chris Hardy's version of country. But you have the full recipe. We're talking living and loving, you know, fucking boozing the whole nine yards, a little bit of weed. You've got that whiskey-induced spirituality. It's all there, you know what I mean? The cowboy dreams, you know, the whole nine yards. It's surprising because you come from such a background that is...
Well, kind of all over the place. Pretty eclectic.
Yeah. I guess.
That's a real word, right?
Yeah, eclectic.
Yeah, there you go.
It's one of them groovy words some hippies use.
Well, we're just trying to say, from one end of the spectrum to the other of what you're trying to do and... What you're putting out now is you're definitely labeling a country album. At least that's what I read off one of your most recent posts. And why designate it like that? What were you doing beforehand?
I mean, coming from, I guess, ultimately,
like your body of work. What bands were you prior to? Give people an idea of where you've come from.
I mean, we'll call a spade a spade. I came from the rock world, and I guess that's really where I kind of, you know, came from musically. Into my own was the last 15 years was jumping around from rock band, having, I guess, a lot of success with an industrial metal group, a local group called Erase the Virus. So that was what it was. And, you know, I did the rock and roll thing forever. I really beat that horse to death. And I think I got tired of playing for angry, sweaty dudes and just wanted to, you know, just change up the pace. So grab
the
acoustic.
You just answered that next question, which was what made you decide to go solo? That pretty much answers that question. You know, like, now I guess the next thing is that, again, you have, even in your acoustic, you have a broad range of styles. I mean, you...
Well, I tell people, like it breaks down to this. I'm Chris J. Hardy, you know, but that's a songwriter. So right. As a songwriter, that's what I label myself as. Now, what I'm performing as is different. I can be a songwriter and write anything.
Anything.
I can choose to go back to rock and write a rock song and help some of my buddies out. Or I feel right at home doing anything.
Right.
As a songwriter, there's no limits there.
But as a performer,
then I have to label it and say, okay, well, this album, this is what I'm put. This is the flavor I'm selling tonight.
What's your preference? I mean, like I said, you've done stuff that were a little more like. You know, the first album wasn't...
The first solo album was probably more coffee shop stuff.
Yeah, coffee shop stuff. Yeah. You know, a little more...
Singer-songwriter.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff you would hear in a coffee shop that was soft, very intricate guitars and, you know, guitar work, you know, like love songy kind of stuff. What made you decide to go very... I mean, it's very Nashville on this one. Like, I mean, pretty Nashville. I was shocked. Like, I'm telling you, when listening to it, I was like... Whoa.
That's a very definitive style.
Yeah, because it's not like alt country or indie
or
country or folk or anything like that. It is right on Nashville like style. You know, your vocals, the guitar work. Oh, actually, even the guitar work, which is phenomenal, by the way. I don't know how you do it.
I'd have to say that's...
I don't know how you sing and play
better
like
than
that.
Just standard Nashville.
Yeah, but yeah. What made you decide to go that route? I mean...
I guess growing up, When I decided to go country, I mean, that was just, there's a story in itself of how that came about.
Well, can I ask you about that real quick? Your personal background, where'd you grow up? What made you go into this avenue? Family, area you grew up? Where are you from?
Well, I grew up here in Texas, in the greater Clear Lake area, Galveston, you know, in between all these different areas, Friendswood, Texas City, Lee City. Like, this is, you know, the Golden Triangle down here in the South Texas.
Of course.
Right near the beach. So, growing up here, of course, you do get exposed to your fair amount of country, whether you want to or not.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's just the way it goes around here. But being a, you know, being a kid, I mean, I've always listened, and I pride myself, I've always listened to everything. I mean, I really have always given, you know, if it's good music, it's good music. But I guess growing up, my influences at the time, I mean, Reba was huge, Garth was huge, Alan Jackson was huge.
Right,
I mean, Texas Country wasn't huge back then.
I hear
then,
a lot of Garth
in
there.
Eight, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that it wasn't huge, but it's not like it is today. What was on the radio wasn't, you know, your average Texas country guy.
I guess it's kind of a weird variation that it wasn't big for everybody else, but it was huge here.
Right.
And so, you know, so did you kind of just naturally, you know, flow to that type of music, or that style, or that influence?
Or does it depend on, you know, the venue and, you know, who you're playing to? I mean, you've got such a broad background. You could look at the crowd, and if you see a bunch of cowboy hats, you're going to play some country stuff.
Exactly.
If you see a bunch of guys with you know, normal dress, you're probably going to be a little more, you know, easygoing with it.
I can cater to an audience. I mean, that's just a professional musician. I mean, you know, that's how you make your money, so... You know, if you got to play, you know, Sweet Home Alabama, or you got to play, you know,
something,
whatever, Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Jack
whatever
Johnson,
whatever pays the fucking bills.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm going
to play
it,
and I got no pride there when it comes to, like, I got Brent to pay, you know, child support, all that other stuff, you know. Well, so
I remember when you were working at a wine bar over in Friendswood,
mm-hmm.
right? You started running a show there, and I came in and played one of your shows, and it's a really weird audience, at least for me at first. Like, holy shit, what am I gonna play for at a wine bar, man? And
that's not too over the top.
Yeah. And you brought me right into it, and I was wildly comfortable, and it was super receptive, and it was super comfortable, and it was great. And you know, you've gone in from playing giant rock shows to doing wine bars to doing, you know, just standard smoky bar. I mean, what do you prefer?
I mean, I've done everything from 38,000 people with corn, you know, kind of shows. You know, with the previous group, we did some really big shows. But, I mean, let's really wrap it all up and go, you know, I just was time to get, you know, I'd gotten all the sex, drugs, rock and roll out of my system. And at a certain point, I took a good look at what I was doing. I just wasn't happy.
So is this more personal to you?
Well, what I'm doing now is, like, absolutely where I'm supposed to be in life. I couldn't be happier. I'm a blessed man now.
That's excellent, man.
Yeah, but that's really good. You have one of your songs. I believe it's the third track that's on there. I don't know what it's called. But you have a line in there that says, if the world is a stage, then, you know, I can basically sleep where I play. You know, and that's...
Yeah, if all the world's a stage, I can make my home anywhere.
I play. There you go. I'm
that's
sorry.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I think
that hits
speaks,
me in the feels.
That's
dude.
Yeah. That speaks volumes to a lot of the songwriters out here. Not just songwriters, musicians. I mean, because that's really how we live our lives in that sense. You know, which brings me to that. You know, listening to this album, you've got a lot of. You allude to you basically getting onto the road and getting back out there, and that's what you made it sound as though you stopped for a while, and now you're ready to do it again, so watch out. I mean, almost,
right.
Like, there's like three or four songs that you actually explicitly mentioned that, like, I'm getting back out there, watch out, here I come. Now, are you planning on going on the road anytime soon?
Well, I mean,
obviously...
I've been playing a lot, and I don't turn down any gigs, and bookings have been really well for me, so I've been blessed to go out and play all... Like, right now, I've played more shows in the last... year than, you know, I mean, and but that's the thing, they're smaller shows, they're not
right.
You know,
more intimate,
yeah. They're so I'm playing, I gotta play, you know, a ton of small shows, whereas, you know, in my past I just do one big one and be good for like a month.
Are you feeling more fulfilled doing that?
I'm having a blast. I mean, it's just it's a totally different like connection with people.
Oh yeah,
these small gigs and the appreciation's there, but it's just also, it's about, like, I'm not spitting out hateful, angry music anymore, and don't get me wrong, right. I mean, rock and metal doesn't have to be that way, but as a whole, I mean, it's a hateful, angry world, and I was surrounded by hateful, angry people, and enablers, and users, and this, that, and now it's like, I had to break down, that's when I left the group, I went on my own, and I had to do my own soul searching.
Yeah,
that's great, man.
So I didn't have a band, I did not go get a drummer, I didn't even start another band, but I also needed to create a new identity.
Yeah.
After Race the Virus, you know, I was just the guy from Race the Virus.
Right.
Luckily, having a gas mask on in that band, because that's the kind of band it was, allowed me to have an alter ego that I could leave behind.
Wow, man, that's really
and
cool.
Walk away from. So the fact that I had that, it allowed me to walk away from it. But I needed a segue. I couldn't just go from Race the Virus to country because I wasn't there yet in my progression.
Right. Yeah, that's like a big shock to the system.
Right.
I had to, and it should be a shock for you. Can't just. the crowd might not accept it either. Yeah.
But they received you really well. I mean, even with your first album, I mean, you did really well. I mean, you were received really well, you know. I mean, you sold a lot, quite a few albums off of it, you know what I mean, in the local, and actually just the fans of Erase the Virus were not just fans of Erase the Virus, they were fans of you as a person. So it really, it was a really, in my opinion, a brilliant move to be able to do something on your own like that.
I was blessed that I was able to switch gears, and everybody did kind of show me as much support as they did.
But, you know, you sit there and you say that, you know, metal and, you know, this industrial feel is all, you know, like this hatred spout, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like I said, man, you've got this, you've got in your album, you know, you've run the full gamut. You know what I mean? I'll put it this way. Like, after listening to it about three times in the last 24 hours, and it's that good, I literally feel like I need to be on intervention. Like, I feel like I could have easily gone into an alcohol-induced coma because, it's got that feel. It's got, you know, like I said, it's got the, you know, living and boozing, loving and losing. You've got, you know, it's murder. Honest.
It's got character.
Yeah, you've got murder. You've got loss of family members. You've got, you know, a little bit of everything. There's a sadness there, but then you have these uplifting songs that are about not giving up and about accepting what you are. The bartender song, you know, I mean, that you accept that, you know, you apparently, you know,
just own the shit.
Yeah,
out
just own the shit out of it. Exactly.
That's,
and that's
what
all
you are,
can do.
Just own it.
And that's a great message.
Yeah, but
to put out
that's
there.
Also what makes you a standout artist.
Yeah,
because where you said you wearing a gas mask, you know, shredding up at the rock shows, people know you now. You're putting out stuff that's personal to you. I know from personal experience that's tough.
Well, that was their thing, and I was a part of their thing. And then finally, I got tired of doing their thing, and I was like, you know what? I've been neglecting my thing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at now.
Was it rough getting on stage the first time to play your thing? You know, I mean, especially knowing that you had some people, I mean, because I'm sure it was local, and, you know, you had some people that knew where you came from. How did that, I mean, how?
Here's the weird thing is, you know, being a guitar player, I could play guitar in front of thousands of people. I never got stage fright once. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't care how big the show was, how gnarly the night got. I just never was afraid to go out on stage and play guitar. But then all of a sudden,
gas mask probably helped a little bit too.
Well, then all of a sudden, when you have to sing, and I'm not, you know, I mean, that's totally different. You're now I was singing my songs, and it was just me and an acoustic. It doesn't get any more organic or naked at that point. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to sing a song here. I mean, it was like you might as well just be naked.
Yeah, right.
It's just you and an acoustic, and then I was trying to sing.
Yeah,
and
it's
not,
fucking terrifying.
And I'm not talking like macho singing. You know, trying to be no. You know, I try to go there and just let the song be what it is, so I really bear kind of parts of myself. And so it took me a minute to get comfortable singing. And even learning a microphone, this is the little things that you people don't even understand. If you're not a musician, you singing in your shower, singing in your living room is nothing like getting up and singing in front of a microphone. Then you hear yourself amplified times a million.
Exactly.
You ever heard yourself on an answering machine and you're like, that's what I sound like? Multiply that by a million.
Hell, right, yeah. Right.
Now everybody's looking at you while you're doing it. I mean, it's just like, you're like, man, am I looking the wrong way? What's going on?
Right, right.
So I got over that, and then now it's no big deal. I just walk up, do what I do, and just kind of just go into autopilot and just forget that anybody is judging me, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, the fact of the matter is, and I told this to Johnny in the first show, is they're absolutely fucking judging you. Absolutely. There's no two ways about it. They're there to see you fail. I mean, like, unfortunately, that is exactly
how it goes down. Their expectations, generally, when you walk in,
are far too high. You know, but that's how spectators are. Now, do me a favor and play me number four. That freaking song is beautiful. The what's it? The something, darling.
The Hey, Darling.
Oh my God, that is an awesome song. We're gonna listen to you play this thing live. So go ahead and do that for us. Give us a little bit of a background on this song, if you can, if you have anything. You know,
the album as a whole. I mean, I can tell you where I was, who I was with, what I was doing. You know, on any given time when I write a song. And with Hey Darlin', it was really just sitting at home and thinking about, you know, women in your life come in and out. But when left to our own devices, us men sometimes we tend to go, you know, well, screw it, I'm going to go off and go back to my old ways.
Well, give it to us.
Your dirty old ways.
So when left with no choice, if the woman's gone, you know, we might go a little crazy for a weekend. But
hell yeah. All right, well, give it to us. Thank you.
Good Lord sent you down to rescue me. It's a long, hard fall from grace without your wings. Stay, darling, stay, darling. Don't you know it gets so damn dark without your bright halo. Beg, but if you don't come home, I'll be in the devil's bed tonight. I'm going back to my wicked ways. Lord of my friends, let's have too much to drink. You'll find me dying at a honky-tonk on the heart. But I'll be backstage with a girl on each arm. I'm going back to my wild days. Fire up that joint and then pass it down the lane. You'll find me dying at a honky-tonk on the heart. Selling my soul for this here ghetto. Stay, darling. Stay, darling. Don't you know I'll be one hell of a mess when you do.
Man, I love that song.
Yeah, that's all really right, good, man. Dude. Yeah.
As I heard that, man, you gave me that the CD last night, and we were listening to it. Me and my wife were, and again, she was completely shocked. She didn't know at all like what you do now. Like all she knows you from is Race the Virus. And she heard it, and she was shocked, and we got to that song, and I was like, wow. Like, that one, that song, it takes it back to an era that is no longer, and I really dig that song. It's really good.
I was not privileged enough to get to hear that beforehand, so that was my first time hearing that. That is sick.
Yeah.
Every listener should be wildly jealous that I just got to hear that live, live. In person, man. Exactly. That was sick, man. Sure. I loved it.
For That's sure.
Actually, the newest song, I mean, that came from almost like a dare, you know. It was like Copeland, a good buddy of mine from the Holdouts, and he's going to be helping me out on guitars.
How's he doing these days?
He's recovering from that motorcycle accident. All right. Wear your helmets, ladies and gentlemen. Wear your helmets.
Roger, roger that, man.
So, and if you, if you're not riding a motorcycle, look out for him. They're on the road. So,
yes, sir. I am one of those.
He's doing good. And he's been like my brother all these years. And, you know, he's like, Chris, you're a hell of a guitar player. You want to impress me? You know, write a song using two chords.
And I was I'm wildly freaking impressed, dude.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's an awesome song.
Not only is the, just the guitar playing in that fantastic, the structuring of it, right. Wonderful.
Yeah.
The content's great. Your voice is amazing, man. Yeah. That's that.
Like I said, you've got that such. That
I just got humbled wildly.
Yeah, you got that very Nashville.
That
feel.
Was great, man. Yeah. Dude, I'm just happy as shit right now.
Yeah, it's in this world, you know, it's like, you know, they kind of want to categorize everything as, oh, that's Texas or that's not. Right. I'm fucking hardy, you know.
You
and that's
are.
Like
you are.
I don't, you know, I'm making it up as I go along.
But it lends to it, yeah. You know, I mean,
it is what it is. You know, I just hope that, you know,
well, it felt
it crosses
right.
over. Even yeah. like there's people that say I hate country, but I like your music.
Yeah,
and there's some of my country songs that people don't even realize are country,
right?
Because those lines are just getting blurred more
exactly.
and more every day.
And I've found that, you know, definitely, even as a band or a singer songwriter, there's a certain level of, I guess, viability would be the best way to put it. But really, it comes down to doing something new but familiar. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be so far out there. I mean, not to say that that's not a good thing, because there are bands that have definitely flourished. I mean, Fugazi being one of them. Absolutely. Things like that, that have flourished doing something completely different. You know, and I think what this is it's an homage to that style of music in your own way of doing it. Because your guitar work on the other songs, did you track it live? Just straight up, just how you do it right now?
Just tracked it live.
That's ridiculous.
Nice. Dude, that's,
some of the stuff you do
is
on that guitar
is...
It absolutely phenomenal. Like, I don't know how you do it. Like,
ridiculous.
I spent, you know, I'm a guitar player. I never wanted to be a singer. I became a singer because I had to be. You know, I was like, so I was a songwriter, not a singer. So, I mean, when you're sitting there not writing, think as a guitar player, you overcomplicate things because it's just right. you. So, I got really creative with really weird chords and just like, so I just brought that into my
singer-songwriter world. That gives you a large a range of tools to grab from.
I mean, it drives other musicians nuts. They're like, there's no room left for me, you know?
That just drove me that particular song just drove me crazy, man.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely,
like, God
dude.
Damn, I wish I could play like that.
Now, is there ever in the future that you're thinking about maybe putting some of this to a backdrop of music? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what we're working on now. I mean, we have, again... You know, Chris J. Hardy as an entity is a songwriter.
So you're looking for more of like a, are you trying to get to that Chris J. Hardy band kind of thing?
No, I will. It'll be, tentatively right now, we're going to call it Hardy and Company.
Hardy and Company, okay.
And that's, when we say, when you see Hardy and Company's performing, then you know it's going to be country. That's pretty much what the flavor we're going to sell.
Gotcha.
And so when people think they won't have to go, okay, well, what's Chris, because it is kind of an open-ended question, what's he going to perform tonight? You know, as if I perform as my songwriter self, then I'm going to perform whatever I want. So I felt like I owed it to people to, like, you know, say, okay, A, I want a band again, but more specifically, I really want a country, like, pursue the country music to its fullest. So I was like, let's get creative, let's have fun, so let's get my friends together and do a band. So if we're going to do the band, then we're going to label it Hardy and Company, you know, then let's really make it known what we do. Let's be clear in our mission, be clear in, like, what we do,
like,
and what we're trying to accomplish.
That sets, you do come from a large band background, going to singer-songwriter, and then... establishing a band afterwards should be a lot cleaner transition, because you know what you're
doing. It would be easier because now you've got it all set up and you're not starting grassroots at this. You know, you've already got everything written. You just basically need someone to back you up.
I've got a great team around me of people that I've met throughout this last year. They've been really supportive. The country scene has been so great, and like people like Chad Ware, Chris Whitten, Brian Shane, Josh Wager, Susan Hickman, people that have really taken me under their wing and showed me there's a whole other world that a lot of the cats around here in the rock scene don't even really exist out there. And then it's like all new clubs, all new bars, all new people. And
right.
Yeah.
They've been nothing but good
capitalizing
to me.
On that. Now, speaking of bars and clubs and things like that, give us a little insight on, you know, the whole Union Tavern you know, open mic things? When do you do them? Where, you know, what's
Union
it
Tavern? Again, it's just it's an open mic. I mean, let's back up 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, if you were a songwriter and you had original acoustic music, there was no place really to play.
Yeah, there's no outlet. Yeah.
Lord
there,
knows
there was
that,
no
dude.
Place to play. And that's when you mentioned the wine bar and that open mic that we started there. That was I started that purely because there was I had all this music I had written on acoustic and no place to play it really. There was just
so it just happened. Yeah. To, so just, it I came just, to it. Just it was started, a natural step. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I've got this wine bar. You know, let's just do You've acoustic music here.
Yeah.
And invite everybody out. Yeah. At that point, everybody wanted to know what I was doing. So we kind of and then other people kind of jumped on board. We started doing it, and the next thing you knew,
oh, I immediately went, oh, thank God, there's yeah. a place that I can play that is run by someone who's also a musician.
Right.
Who kind of knows what needs to happen here, man? And you,
we just all needed that outlet, and it really absolutely. Grew that one outlet. Really, we started it there. Really, like you look at bands like Cassette Tape, didn't exist before.
Did
that.
Not exist before that. Exactly. They'll be on the show eventually.
I mean, a lot of this acoustic scene that's happened over the last 2 years, you know, really kind of came as a result of.
Let me put it out there. It was because of you.
Yeah.
Man, I think it was always there. It just needed. I mean, I guess I'm the kind of guy. If I see something that needs to get done, I get it done.
Well,
if
that's,
I say
that's
I'm going to do something, I do it.
And that's yep, where that's I was. Exactly. That's what I was saying I just, about. You know, you're such a huge scene advocate. You know, I mean, the best you can, you make it to every local show. You know, that's within your reach. You know, I mean,
the joke is if you don't. I mean, I'm the easiest guy in the world to find. I mean, yeah. All you have to do is go out.
Although I do have to say that. You're generally like 15 minutes late to every one of my shows, but that's okay. I know you work and you,
I'm there. Late,
I'm but there. You do show up nonetheless. You know,
hey,
so
man, motherfuckers gotta make an entrance, right?
Exactly. You know, but yeah, I mean, so what days do you normally do this?
On Tuesdays now we have it at Union,
and that's every Tuesday.
That's Union Tavern has been so good to the local music scene.
Oh my god, you have no idea.
And
talk about paying bills.
So they're great. They mean what they say what they do, and it happens.
Let me ask you though,
Union Tavern Tuesday.
How did you move, and why did you move from the wine bar to Union Tavern?
Friendswood, it is what it is. It's a great little community, but it's a sleepy town. And people are in bed by 10 o'clock. I mean,
right.
It wasn't indicative of all the Clear Lake musicians.
A little more conservative, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the, you know, I mean, we're a rowdy bunch, you know. Yeah. And, you know.
It does seem like I remember the time I played there, I was like, I'm just terrified because there's the old ladies.
No, they loved it. Yeah, it was just such an eclectic, weird. I mean, everybody was there to see live music, but you might be playing for, you know, like a whole table of people in their 60s. You know?
Yeah, but
you don't know.
But I've seen just come out of the plants wearing like coveralls.
But
I think that
Union Tavern has given something to you, which is number one, a stage, a full stage. And so you know, the couple that I've been to, you know, I've seen everything from. You know, one guy sitting up there playing acoustic, two guys playing two acoustics, and then I've actually seen basically a full band, you know, and...
We've branched out. I mean, we've had guys try comedy. We had a guy play spoons the other night.
Exactly.
Wow, really?
You've got just a full
the thing
showcase.
That really sets ours apart, I mean, is, you know, some open mics might be intimidating because, there's a talent pool that's pulled from all the best local bands.
Right.
And the guy that's just starting out feels intimidated maybe playing, you know, next to... You know, some of the bigger name acts.
Yeah, that's exactly why I wouldn't do like jam band type stuff.
When they come to mine, it's kind of come as you are. We're just blessed to have musicians show up. So we really kind of take anything.
Yeah, it's
and we had a guy show up 2 weeks ago. Forgive me, I can't remember his name, but for the life of me, but his daughter brought him. And he was just, you know, it's her dad and an older gentleman and just blew everybody out the water.
That's really
I'm horrible. Talking. We were just like, are you kidding me? Where'd this guy come from?
We got to follow this up. Yeah.
You know? So
that's great.
I mean, it's
and you always perform at your open mics, correct?
I always perform at the open mic. You know, and it depends. You know, on it, sometimes we get there. We generally start at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Every Tuesday at Union.
Now there's no entry fee or nothing
no,
like that. All
no
you do
cover.
You sign a list and
super cheap beer and really cool people.
Yeah, we put out the list and. You know, and I'll play until it starts to fill in a little bit. Once we get enough people to really start it up, then we just go. And then there's some nights where, man, we got a full list, and I'm going to play three songs the whole night, so
right. It's
not the Hardy show.
And that's
what I always say. It's like, you know, sometimes I got to play a little longer, but it's never the Hardy show. That's open mic. Run by me.
Well, and that was going to be one of my questions was, you know, why annotate it as an open mic and not just put on a show? And you know, you did answer that question, which is the sense that it allows the newcomers, the greenhorns, the ones that are just trying their stuff out for the first time to come out and put their stuff on the line and see if it works. And you know,
4 years, there's a new crop of badasses coming through.
Yeah, and really, that's true.
But they've got to start. They've got to pay their dues like everybody else.
Like everybody else.
So, right. And I mean, so you cut your, you know,
cut your teeth.
You cut your teeth in those open mics and those shitty gigs, you know. You show up and you're going to play for door, you know, you're going to play for free, you're going to do a lot. But at the open mic, it at least gives you that level of just showing up.
And having musicians be able to appreciate what you do.
Networking is ridiculous because you're surrounded by 20 other musicians from 20 different bands. And next thing you know, hey, let's get a show together, let's play.
And it starts opening up new avenues.
Union Tavern books talent from our Tuesday night. So if they like a group...
So it's like a doorway. Night, it's a doorway drug is basically what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just like weed. Don't do drugs.
And that's what I was going to... Actually, next segues in my question is what made you so enthusiastic about starting that up? Was it starting a venue just for open micers, or was it the networking?
Well, there was no place for me to play. So on a selfish level, I was creating my own gigs.
I was
creating my own gigs. But in doing so, if I can help everybody... I've learned a lot of what not to do in this
industry.
Necessity
is the mother of invention, and that's basically what that comes down to.
And with that, I've learned a lot of what not to do from my old past and from old groups that I've been in. I've seen what it's like to burn bridges. And now, you know, I was like, man, I'm never going to make it in this industry by being an asshole, being a big-headed egomaniac, or being, you know, just rude and mean to people. And so if I can instead do the exact opposite, play as many benefits as you can, do as much volunteer work as you can, create as much opportunities for everybody else as you can, then in that you're going to create such a, I mean, the synergistic vibe that
of course.
I'm trying to create, you know.
It comes back to karma, dude, it's, like straight up.
I mean,
well, I think you've
at the end of the day, you got to market, you got to promote, but you can do that with everybody.
Yeah.
I think you've been wildly successful with that, the Union Tavern show.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about giving back to the community and doing some, you know, doing some charity work and stuff like that just a second ago. Tell us about the We'll Play for Food thing. My band played it last year, and give us a rundown of this thing. That's
an affiliation with, that's really a collaborative effort between everybody. Basically, that this whole thing started off, what could I do to get my music out there? I can't afford to spend money and print, you know, 1,200 CDs. And I could get them done, but I can't give them away.
Unless you're me, and I've done that, and I lost a lot of money.
I know a couple of bands that lost a shitload of money doing that. Instead,
I was like, I got to start getting the ideas. Like, well, why don't I know all these bands? We've got all this great talent. There hasn't been a cool compilation. That's really what started. The compilation CD started.
Yeah, because when we were kids, we always had compilations
no
to listen to.
No approval needed.
The Fat Records compilations, the Victory compilations,
yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, all the B-sides.
You know? Yeah.
There hasn't been any for our local community, especially at a Clear Lake. Those were all Houston-based. Clear Lake, I don't think I'd ever really
had. Yeah, south of the belt, you know.
Good compilation. So I said, you know what? There's no reason why I can't do it. And like I said earlier, like, once I put my mind to something, I say I'm going to do it, I do it.
Well, give us the rundown on what bands need to do to get on this compilation and what the criteria is.
The compilation CD essentially is a collaborative effort between all of us. So right now, I know last year, I think we did 14 bands on it, and each band volunteered their time for the show.
Right.
And just paid. We broke up the duplication.
Where was the show at?
The Scout Bar. Okay. That's an affiliation with Scout Bar, which is another great local venue helping us out. We can't say good enough things about that bar as well.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to put on the We'll Play for Food. So that big festival, it'll be two stages, tons of acts. We'll give away the compilation CDs, the T-shirts, all that. That'll happen at Scout Bar.
Right on. But, what, do you have a tentative date yet? I know you
May
were saying...
May 25th, and just to kind of recap that, we still have spots available for bands that want to be on it.
You said May 25th?
May 25th is our tentative date for that.
How can they get in? Through website, through...
As far as bands,
email wise,
they can hit me up. If you hit me up, Chris J. Hardy on Facebook, or we're launching the We'll Play for Food page.
Okay.
It's up there. You can find it, but I have not launched it yet because we're not done. Because I was
waiting
for the
date. Okay, well, keep an eye out for that.
This week it'll be out, but essentially. It is what it is. We throw a big concert. Last year it was $5 to get in.
And again, remember bands that may be listening to this, you know, if you don't get on the show, keep trying. There is a certain amount of time that he has to fill, and not everybody in the world can get on this show. But don't feel butthurt about the fact that you didn't get on the show if you try to get on the show. It's for a good cause. Come to the show. Support your local
amazing
scene. That's the idea.
Too, man.
Yeah,
t-shirts
and the shirts are cool. Yeah,
the shirts are great.
Yeah, they're really, really
again,
neat.
And all the money that we raise does go to the Houston Food Bank.
And that's where the charity comes in.
That's where the charity comes in. But Again, just to recap it. Last year we did it. It was $5 at the door. You got a free T-shirt. That was just a badass shirt.
It really was.
You got the free CD. You got the CD for free, and you got to see 12 bands. So for $5, you got 12 bands.
Yeah, that's win-win-win.
A CD, right? A T-shirt, and and all your money went to a good cause. So everybody wins.
And they can also bring canned goods and
we'll
non-perishables
take the canned goods, but we'd rather have money. We'll have more donations.
Fair enough.
The aggro's getting involved. The aggro side show's getting involved.
Aggro side show that we've
having an art show.
Before.
And so, you know, instead of cans, because we can do a lot more with your money. I mean, really, the buying power the Houston Food Bank
absolutely
has, your dollar is way more better spent. You're going to buy two canned goods for a dollar. That same dollar will buy them like a case of canned goods almost. I mean, what they can do with a dollar is ridiculous.
Now, here in just a second, we're going to roll into your next song. But I just got to say one more quick thing. With the Union Tavern thing, with establishing a open mic venue for local artists, with doing the charity thing for Will for Food, it's blatantly noble.
Yeah, you're like Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, there's nobody in this scene that gives
a
fuck, man. And you're the guy.
It's the truth. I mean,
that
it really
gives
is
a fuck.
I mean, even on my side, I tried in the band
it's
side
hard,
to,
man.
To
really
make a cohesive scene to where everybody was helping everybody.
But that's
what
you're
doing
right here. You're doing with this, what you're giving me, that's what you're doing right
now.
We probably
wouldn't be doing this if you didn't kind of
spearhead.
I mean,
we've tried so hard to, you know, because I'm a little bit older than, you know, okay, I'm 33. So in my day, you know, when we play with bands, we play with all the bands. We share gear. We hang out. You know, we would talk, and they would be in the crowd. There's so much competitiveness these days in the scene of music, and I understand it. I really do, because there's this big DI.
That could be good, though, if you turn that around.
It
into
is.
What
but
more?
The, but
it
the problem is, you
be
mentioned it earlier, is the egos that come along with it. I mean, it kills me when a band, and I see it all the time, they'll open a show, and they pack their crap, and they get the hell out. They're gone. They don't even care to see the other bands. They don't even introduce themselves to the other bands. There's no cohesiveness. This isn't a talent show. This isn't a fucking contest. You know what I mean? And that's what you're doing. You're helping bring that together. And that's what we're trying to do is bring notice to the local scene and bring this cohesiveness back, because it's been gone for far too long. And I'm sorry, every band out there, you're not going to make it unless you're that freaking good. There's just no way. The scene in general, the music world is so inundated, it is so fast. Everybody moves. And again, I mentioned in the last show, the speed of technology, the speed of information travels so fast. I can do this with a couple items, this whole podcast thing. You can make your whole CD, do it yourself on your own dollar or someone that you know.
You make it approachable.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You make it approachable. You
make it available.
Singers and songwriters that are very talented people that are scared and terrified of this scene.
Yeah,
which as non-competitive as Houston may seem to be, comparatively to like say Austin.
Austin is a mess.
It's tough. But
it's hard to make it anything there.
You make it really available to very talented people that want to come in and make a difference.
Hiding. That's the weird thing. There's some great people.
You got to bring them out.
Show
up.
Where did you come from?
But see, that's what we.
What you're doing with Will Play for Food and your Union Tavern show, really make that available, and that's wildly appreciated, especially for people like me.
And that's what I want to do.
And we're blessed that we have venues like Union, Scout Bar, Cabo,
With Cockeyed Seagull, you know, the same thing. They'll let anybody play there. I mean, literally. I mean, hell, they let us play there.
They let me play
there. You know, and like I said, the thing about it is they come out of the woodworks. And that's what we want to do here is bring the unknowns and bring the people that are less known. I don't want a bunch of rock stars in here because I don't give a shit. Like, if I have to cater to you and I have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's be real, you know?
You know, I heard an interesting thing. I hate to segue about that. You know, with people, unreasonable requests. Like, we've heard the horse word, like the no brown M&Ms.
I read a
recent thing about why they did that, because I always wondered, was that just pompous arrogance?
No, it's contract.
There was brilliance behind that.
It's brilliance.
And most people don't. You would think that's a total arrogant thing.
He's talking about the writers. Like, the bands will have writers that require them to have certain things in their green room or in backstage in order for them to. It's part of the contract for them to play. Like, some people ask for chips and salsa, some people ask for vegetables, and some people ask for certain types of beer and wine or, you know, liquor or whatever. And there's a reason behind it, and Chris, indulge me.
Right. Well, that was the old thing, was Van Halen was known for requesting, like, no brown M&Ms, like a bowl of M&Ms with all the brown ones removed. I know it sounded like a really pompous, arrogant request. However, I read it, and I was like, wow. It was to see if people had read the instructions and did what they were told to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
You signed the contract.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Because if they didn't do that, then what else didn't they do? Is my crew safe? Did they run the rigging the way they're supposed
wild,
to?
That's wild. Like,
brilliant. There's the other side of that. Like, okay, for example.
I mean, when I ordered 5 hookers on my rider, that was just
that was just because you could.
I want the yeah. worst made turkey sandwich. 28
pounds of
get.
Cocaine and weed back to back. But no, when we played with Reverend Horton Heat last year, this may be hearsay, but one of the requests on their rider was a particular Hot Wheel car that is almost impossible to find. Now, what I understand by this is that if you can't find certain things, because they'll ask for certain, like, bananas that are, like, just perfectly green that will ripen within 12 hours kind of thing. Like, you know, like, really odd things. But what it does is it protects them in the sense that if something goes down that is not to their specifications, they can say, I can't do it, I have laryngitis. And it covers their ass on that side.
That's wildly
brilliant. To where that they can be still containing themselves within this contract, but because they couldn't find this Hot Wheel car or because they couldn't find those bananas that were just, you know, at that perfect ripeness, they negated their side of it, so the band is safe, and they can make up the date and figure things out.
That's funny as
so
well.
It works out. So
sorry, I segued you. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's fantastic.
I want to bolt right into letting us hear another one of your
fucking
fantastic songs.
Yeah, please play another song.
I can't wait, dude. It's like
I don't know what you're gonna play.
Treat,
let's
man.
Do this.
Well, every song I write, you know, has I can tell you where I was, what I was doing when I wrote it. And this was the kind of January 1st. I knew I was losing my job at the wine bar, and kind of was losing sleep over it. And then one day I was like, you know what to do. And then like this song kind of really this is where I was at. I was working on this song, and it kind of wrote itself once I was like, man, I know what's got to. I knew it had to happen.
I'm selling off everything I own. Yeah, I'll get by with help from my friends.
Hey, Chad, can I sleep on your couch?
When I come through here again, I'll make it out of this town. Anywhere here, anytime right now. In a time right now, if all the world's a stage that I can make my home anywhere I please. If all the world's a stage that I can sing about for the rest of my day. I sent the devil a Dear Jane letter. I told her that I found somebody better. And I said goodbye to all my exes. I'll take my lead from George, straight out of Texas. So I'll make it out of this town. Anywhere here, in a town right now, in a town right now. If all the world's a stage, then I can make my home anywhere I play. If all the world's a stage,
can sing about for the rest of my days. If all the world's a stage that I can make my home anywhere I play. If all the world's a stage that I can sing about for the rest of my days.
All right, song. Man. Hell yeah, dude.
Talk about that's hitting you in the feelers,
yeah,
man.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
That's a little rough,
That's
man.
Really good. Man. All right, man. It's been awesome having you here, dude. There's a couple places you guys can find Chris Hardy's music, and you can find him on ReverbNation.com/Chris J. Hardy, or you can just Google him.
I'm Googleable.
Yeah, he is Googleable.
Where is your
if
new you album?
If you've never Googled
sale?
Yourself, I highly recommend it too. There's all sorts of strange things.
It is I really do it weird. 2 or 3 times a day.
It is really weird. And then also on Facebook, you can find him at facebook.com/Chris J. Hardy.
Where can somebody buy your newest album?
We're going to do an
iTunes. Hey, that's
iTunes.
A new format. I mean, that's good.
I'm behind the eight ball on technology. So technically, right now, when you want the albums, I have them at every show. So that means
you have to come out to the shows.
But you can hear my music on the web for free, and we're about to set up some downloads as well. So all you got to do if you want to hear my music, it's streaming on demand. Anytime you want to hear it, bam, you can hear it. We just launched 5 new songs on the website.
Which one?
The Reverb Nation.
The Reverb Nation.
And that's also the show dates.
/Chris J. Hardy.
Absolutely. It's all the show dates, which include the rodeo. It's rodeo time,
rodeo
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I will be at the rodeo this Friday, and I will have copies of the...
Can you give us an actual date on that?
That will be this Friday. That's the... Don't catch me lying.
I don't know.
Today's the... What would we say? The 18th? No, 16th, 17th, 18th?
Technology.
I don't remember. I can't remember what day it is.
But I will be at the USO cook-off team, which I'm excited about doing that. It'll be Friday the 22nd.
Got to support our troops, man.
Absolutely. The USO, I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I mean, you saw Frank Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely,
that was like,
dude.
You were not, I mean, if you didn't do that, then that was just like your, that was like, yeah, your, yeah, that was like your
yeah.
duty.
That's definitely,
as a, that's your patriotic duty as a musician. If you ever get called to do that, that's your draft.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a small box located next to your name that you can check.
And what was the date on that one more time?
That's Friday the 22nd.
Friday the 22nd at the Houston Rodeo.
Houston Rodeo with the USO cook-off team. And I will have copies of the albums there. And we will be doing an iTunes launch very soon of everything, especially once we get the full band together and we get the full band album out, which I'm highly anticipating that.
Very cool. We can't wait. Well, like I said, it's been awesome having you here, dude. We are available on, give us the rundown there, Mr. Johnny.
If you want to look up The Grizzly Show, that's one word, over at iTunes. We're available for download there. You can find us at thegrizzlyshow.podomatic.com for our straight from feed site. You can also find us over at the Podomatic manager site, where you can just look up The Grizzly Show, all one word. You'll be able to find us there straight for download to your Android phones. And soon, hopefully, you can be able to find us on Stitcher.
So
that's going to be really exciting, too. So you got those various avenues for us. You can also hit us up at The Grizzly Show for Twitter for any comments, suggestions. We're also actually looking to hope to get a plethora of music for our library. We're going to have a couple of shows.
Yeah, please. All the bands that are out there listening to this, and all you members of bands, we can only play stuff that you allow us to play. So we would like you to give us some consent and let us get you out there as well and play your music and, you know, get it out to a broader audience. And it would be really good for us and really good for you guys. And there's no fee involved. Just give us an MP3 or something. Send it to The Grizzly Show at gmail.com.
Yeah, give us that little consent in there, you know, in your email. Give us that MP3. We'll be wildly happy to play it on the show. Any kind of we're going to really try to increase our music library of local artists. So just send it in. Hopefully, If you do, then we can contact you and give us all your information, and maybe we can have you on the show later. So give us all your music, check out our sites, give us downloads, anything that you can download, subscribe to us, helps us. So if you can subscribe to us on download, download us or play us on Podomatic, that helps us out. And the more times that you do that, the more stuff we can bring you.
Very cool, man. Well, on the next show, we're actually going to have, you heard a song earlier, Samuel Barker. He will be coming in and giving us a rundown on the whole do-it-yourself scene. He's one of the very large advocate of doing it that way. He's a fantastic songwriter, and he's going to come in and do a couple songs for us. But, you know.
One more time, thank you for listening. Really appreciate it.
We do.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Chris.
That's Chris J. Hardy. You look him up. I'm John Batten, or Johnny Bad.
Yeah, and I'm Chad Grizzly, and we really appreciate you. We're going to send you off with a Grizzly song.
Good night, folks.
Good night.